Welcome to Oxcast. It is the one and only Oxford Events podcast. It is still the one and only Oxford Events podcast.
We question this every week and no one has alerted us to anything else. So
we're going to keep on saying it until they do. I've got a fantastic musical menagerie starring a whole bunch of celebrities for us this week. I've got Jules Holland, Mel C, Atomic Kitten, Natasha Hamilton, and of course, the one and only Handel.
And I've got an immersive adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma, modern art, and a piece about poetry in prison.
That sounds fantastic. Oh, I've got David Tennant too, just to keep you listening to the end.
Fine, you can take David Tennant.
Top trumps, I win. Right, let's start us off. What have you got?
Well, it is Wednesday the 13th of November, and tonight at 7:30pm there is a free outdoor performance. It's being put on by a group called MUE, or MU. Not too sure what they prefer, but they write it as capital M, capital U, capital E.
We should call them Moo for the rest of the podcast.
They are a dance and music company, and they've been creating sort of exploratory performances which use light and movement and sound. And they've been doing that for about 3 years. And the idea is that music and light might be able to animate space. And they often use visual art, and they'll do live performances with drawing, as well as light art happening, and videography kind of being projected. So it's very interdisciplinary.
Sounds fantastic.
And they performed at the Old Fire Station and also been involved in art weeks. So they're getting kind of more and more mainstream. So if you haven't come across them yet, then you definitely should make the most of this free outdoor performance tonight. And it's at the Radcam.
Some of my favourite words. At the Radcam, in a beautiful setting as well.
Yeah, in the middle of the city. Mm. All you have to do is pass by the Radcliffe camera between 7:30 and 8:15pm and you'll see some sort of music light movement collaboration by Mew.
Would you say it'll be moving?
It could be moving.
Or amusing.
It could also be amusing.
Anyway, the bar's pretty low if it's free and all you have to do is walk past the Radcam.
Easy.
Sounds brilliant. Well, I've got some beautiful classical music for people tomorrow evening. This one isn't free, I'm afraid, but it is a 300th anniversary performance.
Three, but not free.
Exactly. I think the puns are reaching dangerous levels of concentration already. It's a performance of Handel and Croft's Oxford Odes in the Sheldonian Theatre. Now, this is the 300th anniversary of the 713 Treaty of Utrecht.
Right, I'm with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Which ended the destructive war of the Spanish Succession and smashed French hegemony over Europe. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that, though, Anise.
Don't you need to remind me?
Yeah, exactly. It's feeling a little bit of national pride crushed there at the Treaty of Utrecht. It's well worth celebrating, I'm sure you'll agree. Anyway, really, these divided loyalties will not be tolerated. We want to be rah-rah Handel. Anyway, this is Handel's original composition in the same venue it was originally performed in 1713, exactly 300 years after the first performance. Who said Oxford was stuck in the past, anyway? That's Thursday at 7:30, and there'll be a free talk by music professor Susan Wallenberg beforehand at 6:30pm.
That sounds pretty excellent. And it's called Oxford Odes.
Odes, yeah. You couldn't ask for a more Oxford-centric piece, really.
Excellent. Apart from the whole French bit, excellent.
Yes. Any more crushing the French in
Not on my side, no. Yeah. I'd rather crush the English. No, it's fine. I've got some theatre, if you can call it theatre, I think you might argue with this, on Thursday. It's a company which, again, I'm not sure how to pronounce. Wanahone, I'm going to go with. Wanahone Theatre. They're actually an award-winning company formed of Oxford graduates, and they've been trying to create democratic and accessible theatre over the last 4 years. And they've created several immersive adaptations of classic texts. Mm-hmm. They've done Dracula, and they've also done Wozniak. And this week we're being treated to their interactive take on Jane Austen's Emma.
Sorry, back up a step. I'm with you about accessible and democratic. I always like being able to get into the performance. Interactive Emma.
I think it's going to happen around you and you take part, but I don't think you're going to have to be, you know, sign yourself up to be any specific character. Uh-huh. I think the idea is you're going into the world of Emma. So the idea is Emma's hosting a party and there's going to be games and riddles and she wants to matchmake you with your perfect match. But other characters are going to come along and mess things up because that's the way things work in life.
In Jane Austen, at any rate.
Especially in Austen and in love.
So, in other words, this is a theatrical performance combined with a blind date?
Possibly. Mm. I'm not too sure of the outcome. The outcome probably will come back to the book a bit more. But it will be done in the Norrington Room, and it sounds totally different to anything that they've done there before. Because they do theatre pieces and talks and things, but this sounds very different. And I think there's drinks and dancing included, so you can make a complete night of it.
Sounds like a party, which has some of the people who theoretically are your friends trying to awkwardly match you up with other people with whom you might have nothing in common. Just like every party I've ever been to.
Yeah. It's 7pm in Blackwell's on Thursday, and it's new £10.
Sounds fantastic, especially if the drinks are included. Anyway, I've got some more classical music because I am also stuck in the past. It's a really good week for classical music, actually. Mm. There are more than half a dozen high-profile concerts on in Oxford this week, including two that I'm going to highlight. There's a Beethoven recital in the Sheldonian Theatre on Saturday, just in case you didn't get quite enough Sheldonian with Handel on Thursday. And the extremely talented Oxford University Press Choir are going to be performing in St Barnabas Church.
Made up of Oxford University Press employees?
No, they just like the name. Yes, of course, made up of Oxford University Press employees.
Really,
they are extremely good.
Publishing and singing.
Well, I know.
Go well together.
Natural compliment, apparently. Maybe
this is why I don't work in publishing.
Oh, no, that's not true. I've seen the effect that your voice has on nearby livestock, you know, adjacent neighbours. Have they managed to let that house next to yours yet? Or shush. Anyway.
Should I shush?
There we go. But that's also on Saturday, and they are very good indeed. It's a very large organisation, obviously Oxford University Press. We have a large talent pool. Anyway, what else is there on the end of the week?
Well, on Friday night, going from classical concerts to opera, Don Zanetti's comic opera L'Elisir d'Amore, The Elixir of Love, will be at the North Wall this Friday, and it's performed by the company Opera Up Close. And they've been running since 2009, and they've come to the North Wall, I think, a couple of times already, mm-hmm. and after seeing huge success in London, they're very popular. And what they do is they combine fringe theatre and opera in one, making a kind of intimate and glamorous piece that's not really like anything else on the opera or fringe scene out there. They always perform in new English versions of classic operas, mm-hmm. and they tend to update them or put a concept on them. So the L'Elisir d'Amore this week is set in a 1950s Hollywood party.
Love it. So I'm invited to all sorts of parties this week.
Yes.
And they're all ones where I don't have to actually know people, I can just pay for entry. Lovely. Anyway.
And even if you're not a big opera fan, Opera Up Close, turn the form on its head, and it's a really good introduction to opera if you think the whole big, often more expensive, mm-hmm. Grand operas aren't your cup of tea. This is, you know, a small, intimate theatre. It's going to be lovely. It's also extremely funny, and the set is really great, and obviously the singing's even better. And it's in Oxford for one night only. It's 7:30 p.m. at the North Wall this Friday.
Amazing. There we go. Well, I've got another piece of theatre that is, in a way, competing, because it is also on Friday. It's also on for one night only, and it is also a groundbreaking piece. At least it was a groundbreaking piece.
Way back when.
Exactly.
Not so far back as the previous things you've been talking about. Exactly. It's not 300 years old.
No, I'm moving back to just 20 years old. It is the 20th birthday of Rent, the award-winning Broadway and off-Broadway musical. Rent tells the story of a group of impoverished New York artists living under the shadow of the AIDS epidemic of the 80s. Very powerful, moving, contemporary piece when back in 1993. It's loosely based on Puccini's La Boheme, interestingly. Mm-hmm. It's a cult classic. It won the Tony Award for Best Musical and the Pulitzer Prize for Drama in the same year. Unheard of achievement.
Incredible.
And now it's a massive franchise. It has a film, it has a West End show, and this production stars Atomic Kitten star Natasha Hamilton as lesbian performance artist Maureen. It's had a sellout run. We all sell out at some point or other, and it looks like Rent's turn to do so.
Nice.
Clever double meaning. In all seriousness, this has been an unbelievably popular show.
All of my friends, I don't think I know anyone who doesn't love this show.
Does it all resonate for them, being impoverished artists?
Well, actually, no.
This is your final chance to see this award-winning production. It closes on the 30th of November, but you can see it in Oxford for one night only at the New Theatre at 7:30 p.m.
I think it's going to be packed out.
Absolutely. In case it is sold out, you can check what other events are on Friday on dailyinfo.co.uk.
You can also find somewhere to live or find yourself a job there. Moving on to the weekend, Will Gompertz, the BBC Arts editor, is going to be talking in the Ashmolean from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. this Saturday morning about modern art. The talk is themed around his latest book, which is called What Are You Looking At? 150 Years of Modern Art in the Blink of an Eye. But in this case, it's 150 years of modern art explored within an hour in the Ashmolean.
That actually sounds amazing. I didn't realise it was by this guy, but I've been really wanting to pick this up because basically, apparently what this book does is it shows you what you should be looking for in modern art. It shows you why modern art pieces are art. You know, a lot of people, you know, Rothko, Red Square, you know, whatever, a lot of people like Jackson Pollock, oh, it's not art. But he, you know, he, apparently he explains why these were groundbreaking pieces, why they're still artistically relevant today.
And so much of the time it's more about the stories behind them and the artists and more the sort of the projects, especially with modern art. It's not often the final piece, there's a sort of process often, like with Jackson Pollock, he films a lot of his work and that's sort of incorporated sometimes in exhibitions.
But that's of course lost if you just go along and just look at the piece hanging on a wall. You don't understand why it's big, but he will tell you.
Yeah. Well, same even with traditional art, the symbolism of, you know, if there's a dog in the painting or in a mirror, that all symbolises something as well. So the symbolism's changed, but Will Gompertz can decipher it all for us.
He has the hidden key. He's like a proper Da Vinci Code Tom Hanks, but not, you know, spewing crap. When's he up?
He is on from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And if you can't make the talk, you can always buy the book, of course. But to be fair, it's not every day that Will Gompertz comes to Oxford, so you should make the most of him being in our Schmeleon on Saturday.
Sounds amazing. Well, I've got another great star, obviously, maybe not on the level of Will Gompertz, but, you know...
Maybe bigger.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, not probably certainly not as big cheese in the art world. It's Jules Holland.
In the music world, though.
In the music world. Well, I might have been being
I'd say they're both very BBC Two, BBC Four, you know, kind of things.
Absolutely, yeah. But Will Gompertz, let's be honest, is more BBC Four. You'll know him, of course, from his annual Hoot Nanny, which is a very popular way to ring in the new year. He's back with his rhythm and blues orchestra with foot-stomping big band style music, real crowd pleasing, really up and down the country he goes, just roping people in on sort of big, almost like a kind of, you know, 1940s sing-along sort of style, but just kind of really heartwarming music. And with a couple of other famous performers as well, he has Spice Woman Mel C. and Fine Young Cannibals frontman Roland Gift. They're both joining the lineup of his big band, and it should be a really good evening, I think, if you like sort of traditional enthusiastic music. It's on Saturday at 7:30 in the New Theatre.
He's great kind of at hosting and emceeing and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
It's a kind of all-encompassing,
really
curated
warm
evening.
Warm, charming, absolutely.
Well, on Saturday, I'm going back to the North Wall for another great show.
You can't get away.
Steve Larkin is there, and he's reprising his brilliant show NONCE, which stands for Not on Normal Courtyard Exercise.
Now, to what does this refer?
Well, the piece is in fact based on his own experiences as a poet in a high-security therapeutic prison. So Steve is in fact an international performance poet, and he has co-founded also the spoken word group Hammer on Tongue and toured around the world with this piece and with other poetry pieces.
He's good, is what we're saying.
He's excellent. He's really very excellent. And it's a one-man show and an hour's worth of really thought-provoking material. And there's lots of humour in it too. It's not, don't think you're going to go in for kind of a history of prisons and something which is going to really pull you down. It's actually really uplifting, and he had a really positive experience. But obviously, going in at the beginning is very daunting.
Because he was working, wasn't he, with sex offenders to try and like get them better through poetry, basically.
It's quite heavy, but I would really strongly recommend it. I saw it when it was at the North Wall last year, kind of a similar time. And we've also got a couple of reviews on our website as well from last year's performance. So you should read
those.
What
did you think of it?
It was brilliant. You get so many, especially from Edinburgh, you get so many like, one-hour or one-man or woman shows. And this would just, I think, really stands out from the rest. So there's no more persuading you. You should just go buy your tickets and be at the North Wall on Saturday night.
Brilliant poet, brilliant show. Go along and see it. If you don't fancy going to any live shows this weekend, the Odeon George Street have got you covered. They've got the Korean National Film Festival. This is actually part of a nationwide Korean film festival that's going on at the moment. It's on in London, Oxford and Leeds, all the cultural hubs, obviously. And you can see some fantastic Korean films. There's a couple of hotly tipped family dramas. There's one called Hope and there's one called Boomerang Family. Now we've actually got our resident Korean cinema expert Orla Brown, and she's going to talk to us a bit about Hope. So Orla, tell us about Hope.
Well, it's on Saturday at the Odeon in George Street, and it's a Korean movie that's been getting some really good reviews, and it could be quite difficult, so careful if you choose whether you go along to it, but I think it should be uplifting as well. It's about a girl who, when she's walking to school, is attacked and sexually abused, and she has to go to hospital. She has some terrible injuries and she has surgery and things like that, and then when she wakes up, she then sort of shuns her father, and to try and aid her recovery, he ends up dressing up as her favourite cartoon character. So in a way that she won't interact with humans after her terrible attack, he sort of helps her recover through this. So it's sort of like Life is Beautiful kind of thing, like make it into a game.
Yeah.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah. Heavy going, though. I mean, do you think people will enjoy it? Will they walk away feeling uplifted?
I hope so. I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen the film, but I think it certainly looks really interesting. And there's going to be a Q&A with actor Seol Kung-gu afterwards, because it's part of London Korean Film Festival, which is being played at four London Odeons and then the Leeds Bradford Bradford Odeon and Oxford George Street, so we're actually really lucky that these films are coming.
I think it's really nice that we, you know, you get to see Korean cinema on the big screen, because often, I mean, these films wouldn't get a wide release otherwise, would they?
Yeah, definitely, and yeah. Korean cinema is only growing as an industry, so it's really cool, that, and we're lucky that this festival is coming to Oxford for a little part of it at least.
Thanks very much, Orla. So that's Hope. Also on offer is martial arts sports drama Fist of Legend, about a failed Olympic boxer who competes in a televised survival tournament. All these films are also going to have live Q&As with people like directors and actors, so it's a really great chance to see some Korean cinema on the big screen.
And is it films from North and South Korea?
No, I think this is just films from South Korea, especially given that this week, apparently about a dozen people were executed in North Korea for watching foreign cinema. Apparently, this is an insane story, so go and look it up on Wikipedia because it's amazing. But Kim Jong-il did in fact kidnap a noted South Korean film director and actress and order them basically at gunpoint to make a North Korean huge feature film. So, mad story. They were divorced and then they fell back in love while in captivity and eventually escaped. But yeah, so
there should be a film about that.
I think there probably is. Maybe you can see it in next year's South Korean Film Festival. On a more local note, there's also going to be a fantastic Oxfam One World Fair on this Saturday. There will be over 50 stalls in Oxford Town Hall. They're going to be selling a delicious mix of fair trade goods, handicrafts, secondhand stuff, toys, that sort of thing.
Brilliant.
I know, there'll also be a vegetarian cafe and live music.
Nice. Oh, so it's a whole event, it's not just the stalls.
It is a whole day.
There's food, that's why I'm there.
As long as there's something to entice you along. Fair trade goods, couldn't care less. Vegetarian cafe, suddenly you're interested. This year, all the profits are going towards Oxfam's vital work in Syria, where they have helped rehouse 200,000 refugees. But there are still at least 650,000 more in the Middle East who need help. So you can be part of that. It's just 50p to get in, and it runs from 10am to 4pm on Saturday.
And finally, to end the weekend, on Sunday night, there's a very chilled out gig at the O2. It's young singer-songwriter Gabriella Aplin who'll be taking the stage. So she started to gain popularity a few years ago through doing covers of songs on YouTube. Don't we all?
I haven't seen your YouTube channel.
Well, it's private.
With the ear-melting music.
Her best-known cover is probably when she did The Power of Love, which was then used in the John Lewis Christmas advert this time last year.
Ah, I see.
So everyone's going to be going, ah,
this
yes,
is the trajectory of the modern artist, isn't it? YouTube, Debenhams advert, sorry, John Lewis advert.
John Lewis, totally different beast.
Absolutely, classy, classy. What can we hear her for?
Well, she went on to release her debut album in May this year, and she spent a lot of the last year touring with big acts like Ed Sheeran, Gautier and John Mayer. So she's had a lot of experience, and she's now touring her own album. Her music is quite similar to that of Birdie or Lucy Rose, so it's a sort of like delicate girly voice with acoustic guitar combo.
Nice.
Lovely, lovely. Perfect music for a Sunday night, and it's from 7pm at the O2 Academy on Cali Road.
Sounds amazing. Well, I promised you David Tennant earlier on at the beginning of this podcast, and here he is. The Royal Shakespeare Company, big name, almost as big as David Tennant, are jumping on this whole live cinema theatre thingamabob. They've got special nationwide screenings of the new Richard II, which is on in Stratford. It's the latest production and stars Doctor Who himself. He seems determined to play every Shakespearean royal over the next couple of years, doesn't he? First Hamlet, now this.
There's so many others, Alwyn. That is quite a generalisation.
But no,
what would David Tennant say to that?
Well, probably something about timey-wimey thingamabobs. Anyway, he's going to get his chance because actually the RSC is planning an ambitious programme. They're going to do every Shakespeare play they plan to in roughly chronological order over the next few years. But Tennant's performance has been called brilliant and fascinating, though some have mocked his Cher-like fright wig. He has sort of long hair extensions.
Very long hair.
Anyway, you can judge for yourself. The encore screenings of the live performances are next Monday at 8pm or Tuesday at 2:45pm in the Phoenix Picture House. But if you want to see that live, you can actually catch it tonight, Wednesday, at 7 in the Odeon George Street or the Phoenix Picture House.
Or you can also go to Stratford to see it live.
Well, it's actually sold out. So this is,
I'm
afraid,
whole run.
The whole run. Cinema is your one and only hope.
Oh my God.
Democratic medium.
Must tell people that.
Exactly.
And finally, on Tuesday, Oxford students are putting on a play called 100. It was first performed in 2002, where it won the Fringe First Award in Edinburgh, and since then it's been performed all over the world, and it's actually quite a popular choice for university students. They've seen it done before.
Sounds a really bizarre play, this one.
It's the plot features four characters who have to choose one memory from their lives to pass through eternity, and that's the only memory they can live in eternity, and they've got to forget everything else?
It's a fascinating kind of question, isn't it?
It's a good concept. So it sounds a bit morbid, but it's actually quite an uplifting play, and it will make you definitely look at your own life and ask yourself what you cherish and treasure. And if we were a radio show, we would totally be asking you to call in now and say, what memory would you pick? But unfortunately, we're a podcast and we've run out of time, so we'll let you ponder the question yourself.
Fortunately for the next week, you won't have to experience only one memory. You can go to a variety of different events. You can find every event on in Oxfordshire on our website, dailyinfo.co.uk.
You can also find things to buy or list things you want to sell.
You can find jobs and rooms to let.
And pretty much anything else you need to know about Oxford.
Alternatively, you can follow us at Daily Info Oxford on Twitter.
Or find us on Facebook, just searching Daily Info Oxford.